Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the Talking Football Podcast. My name's Derek Clark, and every week I bring you a top in-depth interview with some of the most colourful and interesting characters in the game. We're growing week on week. Thanks very much for tuning in so far. And don't worry if you've missed any, you can catch them all on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and also by visiting derekclarksports.co.uk. This week we go to Germany to chat to a striker who earned cult hero status at the likes of Hibs, Motherwell and Fulham. It is of course the one and only Dirk Lehmann. It was an absolute pleasure to listen to Dirk's story in the game, and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to him too. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode of the Talking Football Podcast. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Talking Football Podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome a man known by Fulham, Motherwell and Hibs fans in particular, the cult hero that is Dirk Lehmann. Dirk, thanks very much for joining us.
Good evening.
Fantastic career in the game, Dirk. We'll start off from all the way back, I guess. You were born, I was looking at 1971, and is it Aachen in West Germany?
That's right.
And what was life like as a boy growing up? Were you always playing football?
Yes, that was my main hobby. I started playing for a team when I was 3.5. And right up then to the age of 13, then I changed to Alemannia Aachen. And from there, I played then there in a youth.
Did you always want to be a striker growing up?
Yeah, that's right. My ideal player was at that time Klaus Fischer. He used to play for Schalke 04. And I liked his overhead kicks and his ability in the air.
But were Schalke your team growing up? Was that the team you supported as a boy?
Yes, Schalke 04 and Alemannia Aachen.
And did you manage to go to many games as a youngster?
Well, obviously to Schalke, I was only able to go like 4 or 5 times. When I was a young boy, later in life, I have been more often. But I went always to the games of Alemannia Aachen because I lived about 10, 15 minutes away from the ground. And when I was playing in the youth there, I had the opportunity to go to watch every game then.
Alemannia Aachen, did they scout you as a youngster, as a young boy?
They did. They approached me very early, but my mom didn't allow me to go there because due of the journey. It was like a road which was very dark, especially in the winter, and she didn't agree me to go there to play for them. So, I needed to wait a few years, and when I was a wee bit older, she, they approached me again, and then obviously I was able then to move clubs and went to Alemannia Aachen.
When you went there as obviously you'd be a young boy then, did the older players help you or were they hard on you?
Well, obviously when I was younger, I was scoring a lot of goals, and a few times the older team needed players due of illness or people who were on holidays.
Yeah.
So they asked me then to help out, and then they came and picked me sometimes up. And then the parents of the other teammates came then to my house and picked me up and drove me then to the football ground.
And I mean, in Britain, when young players join clubs to begin with, it doesn't happen so much now, but they used to clean boots and clean the stadium and what have you. Was that similar in Germany?
No. I have to say, I think that was a very good lesson for the young boys, especially in Britain. We don't have this kind of rules here in Germany. What we had to do is obviously, if you are the youngest player in the scout or in the team at that time, you had to bring the shirts, you had to lift the goals and have to bring everything after the training back into the garages. So that was your task when you were a younger player. But we unfortunately didn't have the opportunity to clean boots of elderly players.
I guess, I mean, you were at Almanaken until 1992, is that correct? And then you signed for Cologne?
Well, I signed in from Cologne. Yes, I was a little bit unlucky when I came out of the youth team. I was able to get into the first team squad, but at that year, Alemannia Aachen relegated from the second Bundesliga division into the third division. And yeah, so I would have liked then to join at that time the professional football, but then it was more or less also professional, but we were only third division. So yeah, it was a wee bit different to the years before.
When you went to Cologne, I guess that was a bigger club you were joining when you went there.
Yeah, well, in the start, it was for me pretty difficult because I was or I had apprenticeship, and the good thing was that I was able to go to training in the mornings. But after the morning training, I had to leave the ground and had to drive back to Aachen to do my apprenticeship. And after work at around 5-ish, I needed to go and drove back to Cologne to train then with the amateur team so that I have got the same as a professional, 2 times training a day. So it was a hard time at that point.
Yeah, certainly. And the manager I was reading at the time, was it Morten Olsen? Is that correct?
That was the second year. The
Second year.
first year was yeah, the first year was Jörg Berger, when I had my first appearance at the professional team.
What was it like working under those managers? Did you enjoy it?
Well, in the first year, as I said, I was doing both. I had an apprenticeship and I played football, and I got the opportunity to play at a cup game at one point. And after that game, I was able to play my first game in the Bundesliga, and I scored in that first game. And that was obviously for me a really, really great feeling and a good opportunity to show myself. But the problem was, in the next game, I played Werder Bremen away from home, and I started that game. And unfortunately, my opponent at that time, he scored twice, and obviously I was then on the bench the following games.
But I mean, you must remember your debut then in the Bundesliga, and obviously scoring, like you said, it must have been one of the greatest feelings in the world.
Yes, definitely. I was young. I scored quite a lot of goals when I was playing for Alemannia Aachen at that point. And obviously I liked obviously crosses. And it was for me, yeah, probably the best feeling ever when you were young. You come and you played for a big crowd in a big, massive stadium, and you score a winning goal. So that was for me, the biggest and the best feeling you ever can imagine, huh?
Yeah, did you notice a big jump when you played in the Bundesliga with the defenders? Was it difficult to adapt, or did you take it all in your stride?
Oh, well, obviously they are all more experienced at that level. They in the air, I think I was still able to win like 90, 95% of the headers, but they were like on the floor, on the ground. They were like, far better than in the years before when you play by Alemannia Aachen. Everything was quicker. The decision you have to make, do you have to make them much quicker? And the defenders at that time, they were very good. You know, so like there was like Katlech and a few other big names. And you know, they were like very hard to play against. But you know, that's all for you to learn and getting more experience in these levels.
Yeah, but when you came to leave the club, you went to Belgium. How did that come about? And were you sad to leave Cologne at that time?
Well, in my second year at Cologne, I played a recent amount of games. And one of the coaches from Belgium, Eric Gerrits, he watched me in one of these games. And he contacted me right after that game and asked me if I was interested to move clubs in a summer period. And I thought about it, and then I agreed to move to Belgium and played under Eric Gerrits for 2 years.
Yeah, and Eric Gerrits is obviously a legendary coach. What was he like to play under as well?
Yeah, he was very good. He had a lot of experience himself as a player, as a coach too. And the team which I had at that point were quite good as well for like Belgium situations. Yeah, in that time when I was playing in Scotland, you had like Rangers and Celtic, and then you had like basically a little gap, and then the other teams came. Yeah, and that was similar in Belgium. You had Bruges, Bruges, and you had Anderlecht, and maybe Standard Liège. But then there was nobody else, and playing for Lierse was pretty good, and we had a good season as well in that year.
Yeah, then did you notice a difference between the Bundesliga and in Belgian football?
Yeah, I think you have definitely much better players and much better opponents, and when you move to another country, you had to adapt with the languages first of all, and you have to adapt a certain ways how clubs are playing and what are their tasks as a professional footballers. Obviously, the Bundesliga was more professional at that time than Belgium leagues. Yeah, and certainly the team of Cologne with big name players as Lidbarski, Toni Polster, and all of them, they obviously were more famous in the whole of the football world than, for example, Peters or Huismans, Dirk Huismans. Nobody knows these kinds of players, but Lidbarski, everybody in the world knows. Huh?
Yeah, he's a legendary player. You spent obviously a season as well at Molenbeek. Then you went back to Germany. Were you happy to go back to your homeland when the time was up in Belgium?
Well, we went in administration with Molenbeek. I had a really good time. The manager there was very good too. The team was okay. We had we encountered a lot of problems financially wise at that time, and unfortunately this team had to go in administration, and for me being a father and needed to play somewhere else, I offered them my duty to Cottbus. They were interested in me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go and move back to Germany and play for them.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Dirk, when a team, obviously you encountered it at Motherwell as well, but then at that time, were you worried about your future when the club goes into administration, or do you feel confident you'd be able to get to another club?
Well, obviously, as a footballer, you are always, or you have to be, positive. And the situation at Motherwell at that time was that I had talks to the club, and I really liked my time there. The people were very nice, very friendly. And I believed in the case that we will get out of administration really quick afterwards. But you never know. And yeah, that's things what you cannot plan. And then, yeah, and you have to make a decision. And I decided then to stay. Yeah.
You spent a year back in Germany, and then you moved to English football. What did you always want to play in England? And how did that move to Fulham come about?
Yes, it was like that. I was at Cottbus, and I was playing friendly games in Austria at that time in the preseason for them, and I had to play at one time in the back as a centre half.
Wow!
And we played Rapid Vienna, and I scored a header in a friendly game, and there wasn't some English scout there, and after the game someone contacted me a day later, yeah, and asked me if I was interested moving to Britain. And yeah, so my dream was always playing in England, I have to say. And yeah, I choose then to go over and have a look, have a closer look then at the English football. And fortunately, I had the opportunity then to play for Gillingham in a preseason match, where a lot of scouts were there. And you know, Fulham saw contact me then, and this, I decided then to choose for Fulham.
Was it Kevin Keegan was the manager there at the time as well, wasn't he?
That's right. Yeah.
He was obviously, you must have remembered him for his time at Hamburg.
Yes.
What was it like to play for him?
Yeah, I mean, he was a terrific player. He was Europe's best striker at one point, and you know, I choose Fulham because of him. He was, yeah, well known, and I thought, you know, he can really, you know, bring something to my game, and that's the reason why I choose then Fulham, and yeah, I didn't regret it. Say.
Yeah, did you notice a difference in terms of the football in the British style of the dressing room that you were involved in?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, going to an English club, you know, we were there in the second division, and you know, you notice first of all the difference about the money. You know, the German Bundesliga were at that time with Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund really famous. They were really good in Europe, and they had a lot of money. But when I you know, got asked to join Fulham, we went to a friendly game to Hamburg, and you know, I could not believe how many supporters came to Germany to watch a friendly game. That was unbelievable. Huh? And that was really good. And you know, when you are in a dressing room, everybody was really like joking, and it was not as, yeah, how he said it, like, not as strict as it was in Germany.
You obviously you endeared yourself to the Fulham supporters. They gave you the nickname the Porn Star. How did you feel about that?
that must came from that friendly game in Hamburg. But yeah, as I say, it was brilliant. The supporters obviously had a big banner, and I was really surprised to see that, and I couldn't believe it. And you know, so in the start it was a wee bit, yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, I didn't have a bad feeling, but I was a wee bit worried because I had like a little kid, and it was like, it's not the best name what you could get as a footballer at that time.
In terms of living in London, how did you enjoy that? Did you like living in the city?
Well, I lived a little bit outside. I lived at my agent at that time, Tommy Langley. I lived for a month, I think, in Richmond,
Ah,
which I
yes.
really liked. We had the Bank of England Sports Club where we trained at that time, so I needed only to go through the park, and that was easy going. But then after a month, I moved to my agent, and I stayed then a year at my agent's. We got on really well, and his son was basically my little brother at the time, and we still have got contact, me and the wee he's not a wee boy anymore, so we've got still contact, and I really loved the family. They were really nice to me.
Good stuff. And you spent a season at Fulham, of course, and then you moved up north to Scotland. How did the move to Hibs come about?
Yeah, well, we became champions in England, and I had 28 offers at that year.
Wow.
And I flew over then to Scotland, and went first of all to watch St. Johnstone. They
Yep.
had a they had a yeah they had a final match against Dundee at the time. Whoever won that game were qualified for the European Cup at that time. So I was there, and everybody was really friendly. In the evening, then after the game, we drove then to the other side, to Edinburgh, and we, spoke to someone at Hibs, and the following morning we met again, spoke again, and it was really, really hard to choose between both teams. But I decided to go then to Hibernian because of the bigger city and the possibility that I could bring my daughter then in one of their schools then at that time.
You said you had loads of offers. Did you not consider maybe staying at Fulham, or was that not one of the offers on the table?
Yeah, well, I could have stayed, but they told me as well that they will bring another couple of big players in, and he was really fair. Keegan was then becoming the national coach.
Yeah.
Paul Bracewell took over, and he told me that at that year we had, like, similar to Chelsea at that time. We swapped the strikers a lot of times. Yeah, that
Yeah,
means
rotation.
we had like a rotation system there, and I played, and I had the good thing for me was I had the big games. I was a wee bit lucky, and I got the big games against like Man United, Liverpool. So that was obviously for me a good thing. But I thought, to maintain playing at that time, I decided then maybe a move will be not bad, and that's why I decided then to go over to Scotland.
Yeah, and of course Alex McLeish was the manager there as well. He's known as a really good man manager, Alex McLeish. How did you find working for him?
Yeah, very good. Very nice man to me. Always friendly. As I say, we had a good squad at that time. Hibernian, we were pretty strong, and that was also a wee bit it made easier for me to move there because the kind of players they had with Russell Latapy.
Oh yeah, how good was he?
He for me, he was the best player I ever played with. I have
Wow.
to be honest.
Every player, every player we interview on here, they always say Russell Latapy is the best player that they ever played with. He could play with his slippers on.
Yeah, he does. He probably goes out until 2 o'clock in the night, and he comes still on the ground and he's the best. So he was amazing. He was also a really good lad, and it was really, really good to play with someone like him.
Yeah, and you had a great start to your Hibs career, of course. You scored twice on your debut against Motherwell, and you scored it in the next game as well. So I guess it's always good when you join a new club, Dirk, to get off to a goal-scoring start as soon as possible.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think I was really, if I seen, if I would make a review, the first couple of games were very good for me. You know, I scored 3 goals in 2 games, and obviously then the opponents are always more aware about you. So, you know, and then, you know, it was then more hard to score than in the following games. But as I said, we had a really good squad, and I had a good, really good time there. It's just, the way... And was a wee bit sad, I have to say.
Yeah, you played in the Edinburgh Derby, of course, and you scored at Tynecastle. What was that like as a game to play in?
Yeah, okay, the Millennium Derby. Yeah, it was great, you know, to make the opening goal that day was brilliant. Yeah, it was like a lot of supporters were in Tynecastle, and the volume of the supporters were great at that time, and beating them was also a really big opportunity for each player of my squad to shine. And, you know, we had a good squad at that time, and it was definitely a great game.
You said that you were a bit unhappy about how you left the club. Was there any reason for that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a man from word, and if I agree with you something, I stick to it, yeah. And as I say, you know, they agreed with me to stay there, and I cancelled all my offers I had because I stayed then, and I said I will stay with you then, cancel every club and every offer I had, and unfortunately then. While I was on holiday, they phoned me up and say they had found a right back, which they definitely need. And with the right back comes another striker with him in the package. So, I was a wee bit sad, I have to say, you know, because I really liked my time there. And, I stick to my word, and they already told me that I will get a new contract, you know, because we were in the cup final. We were not allowed to negotiate and speak about the new deals, but they told us that we keep the squad together. So I was a wee bit sad, yeah, but that's how it goes in sometimes.
Yeah, she would be. That cup final that you mentioned, of course, was against Celtic. Were you a bit disappointed not to come on and play a part in that game?
Yeah, I mean, I was playing the last few games in the league due of an injury from one of the centre-halves. And I played centre-half myself at the time, and I played quite well. But the gaffer at that time, he chose to let the guys starting the game who were like involved in the previous counters on their positions, you know. And it was for me then, being not the center half, then obviously he changed me with a player who came back from injury. And that was a wee bit sad, but that's how it goes, and you have to accept that.
Yeah, you said that you played centre-half sometimes. I mean, did you manage to transition from striker to centre-half quite easily, Dirk? Did you enjoy playing at the back?
Yeah, I did. I think I actually, it was for me much easier. I know how strikers are thinking, and because a lot of balls are in the air. And I think to be a defender, it's far more easy to defend the balls in the air as to attack them. While I was really good in the air, attacking-wise, it was much easier for me than, obviously, to attack the balls in the air in the defense. And being a former striker, knowing the runs who strikers are making, you know, you had always, like in chess, the movement a little bit ahead of them. So, yeah, the only thing is there were a couple of strikers. They were so good. They were really difficult to follow.
Yeah.
Larsen, I played once Larsen. He
he was good.
He ripped me out. Yeah, he ripped me apart.
I was good to see you obviously went to Brighton for 6 months. They had a number of manager changes, didn't they, at the time? Was that just a bit of a turbulent spell down there?
Yes. The gaffer who bought me was Mickey Adams.
Yep, yep.
We were top of the table, and he got an offer to move to Leicester, and obviously we got a new coach in, and well, I didn't get so much opportunities to play then under him. So yeah, I don't know, it was harder for me, you know. I didn't adapt then maybe so well under his coach, and I was not his favorite, and I miss Scotland, I have to say. And you know, the time I left from Hibernian, that's what I just told you. I was really missing Scotland a lot and the people there. And yeah, I had the opportunity then to come back to Scotland.
Yeah, so Motherwell signed you. Was there any other clubs interested at the time, or was it just you fancied Motherwell at that time?
Yeah, I wanted to come back to Scotland. I really loved Scotland. I loved the people. I loved the environment. I loved the football. It was hard. It was honest. Yeah, and that's what I like. You know, all the footballers in Scotland have got a good heart. And, you know, they are hard. They don't moan. They don't whine. And you know, I love this game. You know, I don't, you know, you have to stick in, you know, and if you get beat, you get beat, you know, but you've been at least with your heart there and you give everything. And that's what I like about it, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I like Scotland.
Yeah, you played under Eric Black, was there, and then it was Terry Butcher took charge. He's certainly a character. What was he like to play under?
Well, Eric Black was very good. Terry Butcher was the assistant at that time. And yeah, I was only able to play 11 games under Eric Black, but I was really good, really nice manager. I think him, you know, as a couple with Terry Butcher, did a really great job there. And it was obvious that he will have an offer from England, moving then down south and getting a bigger club. Yeah, and working under Terry Butcher, yeah, he's a very hard man. Yeah, he was a hard defender, and the same he was as a coach, but very friendly. Yeah, I like the time too there, I have to say.
Yeah, did you stay around about Motherwell when you played for the club?
Pardon me?
Did you live in Motherwell when you played for the club? Yeah.
Aye, I lived around the corner. I bought a house there. I lived about like 5 minutes from the ground, and it was brilliant. We had a brilliant time there, and as I say, you know, when they offered me then to stay at the ground after they went into administration, they obviously released all other players, and they asked Scott Leach and myself, yep, as a more experienced player to stay at the club and to try to, you know, raise the club, and then that we get back out of administration and maybe, you know, lead a wee bit the young boys. Yeah, I said yes, and yeah, it was good. It was a good time. Yeah, really nice boys I played with. They are now really football, you know, also big guys now. And yeah, they did their job in the country too.
Yeah, one of those young boys at the time was, of course, James McFadden, who was just coming through. What was he like to play with?
He didn't know what he was doing, you know. yeah, honestly, he got the ball, and you know, he was so tricky, and he was like so elusive. He you know, you didn't know, does he hit the ball with the left foot, does he cut in, you know. He was good in the air, he had a good touch, he was working hard. So it was good. It was really good seeing him playing next to me. It was good. Yeah, definitely. You know, I think I could help him a lot at that time. And you know, because I was definitely a different player like him, I could, you know, hold off the defenders, and you know, and he you know, did his runs around me, and was able then to score. And a great player he was, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, I myself, I'm from Hamilton originally, and there is a couple of nightclubs round about the place, the Hamilton Palace and the Mega Bar. Did you and the boys frequent a couple of those establishments now and again?
I never heard about her. No. I've been there a few times. Yeah, we had great times. Yeah, it was great. We went there. You know, we know the bouncers. It was not far away from Motherwell, and we had good times there. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You left Motherwell, of course, then you went to Japan, which was a move out of the blue. What was it that you fancied about Japan? It was a lucrative offer. I was reading that you were offered there, and of course I was reading that Litbarski was a manager, was a coach there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I had a few offers from down south. I went there you know, I nearly stayed down south, but I got an offer then to go to Japan. Litbarski called me and said, listen, come up and then have a look here for a week, see how you like it. So I went down, looked at the facilities they had available. They were only allowed to have 3 foreign players in their squad. And for some reason was there a guy I knew. He is well known in Scotland too.
Yeah, Rudi Vata, is that right?
Rudi Vata,
yeah,
exactly. So I knew Rudi, and it was for me great to see him being over in Japan. And that week went really fast, and I decided then to go and play in Japan.
How did you, was it much, did you have to adjust? Was it difficult to adjust because with the language and the food, the diet and the lifestyle?
We lived actually next to each other. There was another Dutch guy living with us in the same area. And due that I played in Belgium, I can speak Dutch. And it was for me quite easy to speak to these three or these two guys. The language issue was not very difficult because Litbarski speaks fluently Japanese. Then he spoke to me then in German, and you know, the lads there, they were also really friendly to me. Yeah, the only thing is the way how they played didn't suit me well. You know, they were like, they didn't have like the mentality like me. Rudi Vata is similar to me. Rudi Vata wants to win, you know, and I want to win. And I'm not happy if I play good and we lose. So the first thing for me is I want to win as a club and as a team. And I will try to do everything for that. And the mentality was a little bit different. You know, they played quite well. Occasionally, you know, we had like maybe 60-70% possession, but you know, we lost 2-3 goals, and we got beat at the time. And yeah, I was not too easy. I wasn't 100% fit, I have to say, at that time. And instead playing me the ball into my body or crossing the ball, you know, they always, I come short, they played it long, so it was really difficult for me to adapt. And after the half season finished, I left again.
Yeah, and you moved back to Germany where you are now. You were at a couple of clubs there. Are you still playing at the moment, Dirk, or have you finished playing?
Well, yeah, I'm a coach here, and I play for the over 40s for
wow.
Alemannia Aachen. Yeah, for the Alemannia Aachen. We have been to the German, we have got like a big tournament here. And the best 10 teams in Germany can go to Berlin and play then the championship. And I was there once, but unfortunately we didn't manage to win it. Now the last couple of years we did not qualify. We went to the last stage. You have got like four stages, and we went to the last stage, but we missed always on that because Bayer Leverkusen is too strong at that time or at the moment. So, but maybe another time we have the chance and the opportunity to go to Berlin again.
Yeah, and you said you're managing as well. Do you have ambitions to manage a top level club at all?
Well, I did my coaching badge in Scotland, and I did my A license.
Yes.
And and I wanted really to go into coaching. I had an opportunity then when I did my coaching badge in Scotland. The problem was, I was studying again, and I needed only about a half a year before I was finishing the studies. And I thought, you know, giving it up again and, you know, going into the football business, I was a wee bit scared, I have to say, you know, because I needed only half a year left and I had my studies done. And so I decided then not to do that. So now I'm coaching a non-league football team here. I had a few opportunities now last season to go and I trained the under 19th and under 17th from Alemannia Aachen. They play Bundesliga. They asked me if I fancied to do that as a coach. The only thing, as I said, I'm a man of my words, and I agreed with my club which I am coaching right now that I stayed. So I said no, I cannot move because I stick to my word here. So, but you know, that's here my last season, and then I will see what's coming for me.
Yeah, and finally then, Dirk, you mentioned there Russell Lattipe is probably the best player that you played with. In terms of your toughest opponent in your career, is there one player that stands out?
Well, I played Amoruso.
Oh yes, Lorenzo Amoruso, yeah.
Yes, I was actually quite hard playing against him. I did really well occasionally against him, but you know, it was like, you know, one game he was on top and one game he was on top. So, he was a really tough opponent, I have to say.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. When you played at Old Firm clubs, when you went to Celtic Park and Ibrox, did you enjoy playing in those stadiums?
Oh, for me, I have to say the atmosphere in Parkhead, it was brilliant. And Ibrox, obviously, when you go there, was also good. And the teams they had, both sides, Celtic and Rangers, at that time, they were outstanding. You know, they were always in Europe. They were always in the quarterfinals in the Champions League. They had like Frank Broncos playing for them. Albert closing a goal. You had brilliant players there, you know, Ferguson in midfield. So they were very good. On the other hand, you had Celtic with Larsen, you know, you had really, really, really good players there too. You know, John Hartson, he came over, and yeah, it was a good time then. And it's this year, it seems to be really tight again.
Yeah.
Celtic Rangers are on top of the table, and very, you know,
questions,
who will win it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but it certainly is. Do you ever get over to Scotland much, Dirk, nowadays?
Well, yes. Last year I was invited for the cup final.
Yes.
So I went over and watched it against Celtic. My friend Marcus, he lives over there. He's from my hometown here in Aachen, but he lives over in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Motherwell. We are in contact, and I have to say, this guy has got the best Scottish accent I can imagine as a German foreigner. He has got a great accent. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I will definitely come over because I have to get my hours for my coaching batch done. And yeah, I need some CPDRs. And I will come over to Scotland sometime next year.
Excellent stuff. Fantastic. Well, we wish you all the best, Dirk, in your career going forward. Thanks very much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was me an honor.
Well, that was episode 21 of the Talking Football Podcast with Dirk Lehman. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks very much for listening. Remember, you can catch any you've missed on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and also at derekclarksport.co.uk. We're also on Twitter at @talking_football and Facebook as well. I hope you can join me again next week for another guest, but until then, bye for now.